Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Corey and I are opening the show today with Dr. Mark Thornton from the Mises Institute down in Auburn, Alabama. I bet you nobody in Auburn, Alabama is talking economics right now, Mark. They're probably talking BCS title game, huh?
Oh, definitely. If they were here at all, Al, I mean, most people are gone. The students aren't back, and all the alumni and local people have left town, I guess, to go to the game. So it's just you, me, and the phone, really, in Auburn.
Well, it's a religion down there. I got a question for you. We're going to be talking an awful lot about economic issues and political issues over the next 2 hours on the show. And we wanted to start out with you, where you basically discussed how Austrian economic principles could get the United States out of the economic morass that they're in right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Austrian principles concerning free market economics and, you know, what the limited government does for the economy is really the only cure-all for economic malaise. And you see this around the planet. I mean, China started to go to the market and they started to grow. India started to go towards the market and it started to grow at very high rates. Sweden moved to socialism and their economy went downhill. And then, so they've reformed themselves and their economy is just fine now. And so if you look at just general peeling back of government regulation and intervention and high taxes, and more importantly, Al, I think that if we start to deal with the problems, the long-range problems of things like the national debt and things like the Social Security cliff and balancing our budget and normalizing our income tax and corporate tax, you don't have to do anything as radical as I wanted to get this economy in good shape, moving forward, growing faster, and you know, economic growth and freedom is an elixir for prosperity. It's what gets entrepreneurs moving. And if I could sit down and draw out a list of five or six things that over time we reform those things and we peel back welfare and things of that nature and we address the problems that are created by the Federal Reserve System, all of a sudden investors come out of their shells and they start investing, they start hiring, they start new adventures in the world of business and in science and technology. And once you start that growth engine, you have more and more resources available for productive purposes, and you're hiring more people. That's the path back to prosperity for the United States.
Mark, I think you bring up a good point there where you say the government needs to focus on some key issues. Right now it feels almost like the government, at least in the U.S. and a couple countries around the world, are spreading themselves just too thin. They're trying to focus on too many different aspects when the government should be there to keep maybe the overlying, the high-level issues at hand. And other than that, let people grow. And you mentioned a couple other countries have moved that way. Do you think if more and more countries adopt this, that the U.S. stands more chance of maybe opening their eyes and figuring out that they need to just focus on these high-level issues?
I think that they're getting to that point. For example, I think it's pretty clear to me that they've woken up, you know, because basically they've been making mistake after mistake after mistake in Washington, D.C., and now they realize that they've been focusing their attention on the Middle East and Afghanistan, wasting huge amounts of resources and doing nothing but making more and more enemies, that they have to focus on things like international trade and immigration and, you know, an investment here in the United States in relations with the Asian countries and South American countries and things of that nature. So I think that they're beginning to realize exactly that they've spread themselves too thin and that these foreign war adventures are purely a losing matter in terms of resources, in terms of killing American soldiers, in terms of creating enemies and disrupting world trade rather than encouraging world trade and production.
Mark, I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with that more. You know, I've had this discussion numerous times with Dr. Ron Paul as an example, with Jeff Deist, with Congressman Walter Jones from North Carolina. You know, wars, you have to think about what that famous speech that President Eisenhower gave back in the early 60s. You know, the military-industrial complex is very, very dangerous, and it basically promotes a false economy, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as a student of history, over time, it's taken me a long time to realize this, but these foreign wars dating back hundreds of years are basically scams on the taxpayers of the economy that's doing these wars. And so when I went back and started investigating England and France and, you know, their more or less ongoing battles, is what I saw was politicians who started and encouraged these wars and how they would pay off their supporters and enrich themselves in the process. And so I think once the American people realize that these are not just mistakes, these are scams, and that a lot of people are getting filthy, dirty, rich, spilling the blood of American soldiers in places that America has no interest whatsoever, politically or economically even, in terms of trying to control and mastermind these other countries around the world. It's just a losing battle. People are making money off of it, spilling the blood of American soldiers. It's really disgusting.
There's no doubt that war is big business, especially in the U.S. It's one of the ways that the U.S., I think, managed to gain this powerhouse foothold over other countries. But I think these wars were also fought a lot of the time over oil, too, and over these resources that the U.S. wanted to control. And now that we're seeing, or at least hearing, that the U.S. wants to be energy independent and produce all their own oil and continue to frack around, do you think that these wars will dissipate, or do you think that it's really just the greedy politicians and big businessmen that want to keep lining their pockets with more money?
Well, I think it's two things. I think that's part of it. You know, the fact that the United States is headed very quickly towards energy independent and really to becoming an exporter of energy products. And we've always been an energy powerhouse around the world until regulations slowed down development and exploration for energy sources here in the United States, whether it's oil, gas, or coal, or certainly nuclear power. And the other thing is that from the previous question is that we've, you know, I think our diplomats at least have realized that we've got to be more concerned about countries like India and China, our allies in Asia, conflicts that might break out between Pakistan and India. We need to play the good guy and try to make sure that their world is a safe place and that we do not act as an aggressor or as someone who is responsible for starting some of these potential conflicts, whether it's in Korea or India. Peace is the key, and I think that at least some of our diplomats have realized that needs to be a focus, and it's got to be a focus where we play diplomats and peacemakers rather than just rough and tumble, stumble in with tanks and planes and bomb people. That's not the way to go. And so those two factors are at least encouraging. You know, the fact that they've realized the issues are at hand and the fact that they can no longer use energy and oil dependence as a weapon against the American public, as a way of threatening them. You know, that's how politicians get things done, is they threaten the American people or they expose potential threats that most of the time are not really there. And so those factors have come together to make me somewhat optimistic that we can have more peace and less conflict going forward in the future.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from Dr. Mark Thornton of the Mises Institute.